I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
On November 7th, New York's Hudson Valley congressional representatives split their votes on whether to censure Representative Rashida Tlaib. Republican Representative Mark Molinaro and Elise Stefanik and Democrat Pat Ryan voted with the majority, 234 to 188, to censure the Michigan Democrat, and I quote, for promoting false narratives regarding the October 7th, 2023 Hamas attack on Israel and for calling for the destruction of the state of Israel, end quote. Democrat Paul Tonko did not vote to censure Tlaib. Only four Republicans voted against the measure, and 22 Democrats, including Ryan, voted for the censure measure that was brought by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. Tlaib is the first Palestinian-American woman to serve in Congress. After the vote, she said on the House floor, and I quote, "The idea that criticizing the government of Israel is anti-Semitic sets a very dangerous precedent, and it's been used to silence diverse voices speaking up for human rights across our nation," end quote. Timmy Feliciola reports for the Times Union that Representative Pat Ryan says his 18th congressional district includes two families with relatives who were taken hostage by Hamas at the beginning of the war with Israel. The war has Ryan pulled all sorts of ways by constituents and donations. Many people showed up at two recent protests calling for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war on October 25th in Poughkeepsie and on November 9th in Kingston. The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or APAC, gave Ryan nearly $26,000 to his 2022 congressional campaign. On the hostages, Ryan said, and I quote, "Two families in the district have relations currently held in Hamas as hostages. There are about a dozen American hostages. Two of them are from Goshen. I've been texting and speaking almost daily with the niece of two individuals, who are 72 and 73 years old. They were out on a morning walk in their kibbutz when they were taken hostage. We think the gentleman, 73, was shot by Hamas terrorists. We have no idea where they are now. The last time their phone was pinged by the Israeli Defense Forces, they were in Gaza. So we're working night and day, 24-7, to do everything we can to get them home," end quote. Ryan also decried what has spilled over from the war into this country. Ryan said, and I quote, "Now we're at near unprecedented levels, at least in my lifetime, of both anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. We've had many more incidences of anti-Semitism reported to us, not to say that there aren't others that haven't been reported. Personally, my wife and her family are Jewish. It's very scary talking to rabbis and religious leaders across the district. Their fear about having their congregation meet for services is unprecedented. It is infuriating and also saddening that we've reached this point where we're pitting American against American. That's exactly what our adversaries in Iran and Hamas want," end quote. Ryan voted with Republicans Mark Molinaro and Elise Stefanik on a measure put forth by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene to censure Democrat Representative Rashida Tlaib for making a statement using a phrase many Israelis say is anti-Semitic. But in an interview with the Daily Freeman, Ryan refused to disavow an extremely similar statement from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party. Ryan said, and I quote, "I've not heard him say that. What's clear to anyone who wants to see a resolution here, who's studied the history, and who's followed the facts on the ground, is the only durable solution is a two-state solution, which I certainly remain committed to, which the United States has to remain committed to," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Spencer Collin reports for New York State of Politics that protesters who want a ceasefire in the Israeli-Hamas war held a die-in November 9th outside Representative Paul Tonko's Albany office. Members of Upper Hudson Peace Action and Jewish Voice for Peace held a die-in at the Democrats' office. The protesters wanted Tonko to sign on to a ceasefire now resolution in the House. Jewish Voice for Peace organizer Karen Carmelli said, and I quote, "A ceasefire is the bare minimum that we can do to stop killing civilians. We need to stop killing civilians immediately," end quote. So far, Tonko supports a humanitarian pause, which ceasefire advocates say is not enough. Tonko was mum on Thursday, but one of his representatives released a statement that said, and I quote, "Congressman Tonko's top concerns are avoiding further deaths of innocent civilians and facilitating the return of all hostages, which is why he has called for an immediate stop to the violence in Gaza and continues to call for aid workers to be allowed to deliver food, water, medical care, and resources needed in Gaza," end quote. Protesters panned Tonko's statement. Carmelli said, and I quote, "Giving them water, giving them a little bit of something to eat, and then continuing to bomb them with weaponry that is provided by the U.S. government using U.S. taxpayer dollars is unconscionable," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Mid-Hudson News reports that several hundred people rallied outside Representative Pat Ryan's Kingston office on November 10th, asking him to support a ceasefire in the war between Israel and Hamas. Many in the crowd also want the U.S. to stop sending taxpayer money to Israel to pay for the war. The terrorist group Hamas attacked Israeli citizens on October 7th in horrific acts of violence. Since then, all sorts of civilians have been injured or killed in the conflict. Mia Inouye, a member of Mid-Hudson Valley Democratic Socialists of America, said, and I quote, "We grieve for every life that has been lost in this conflict, including Israeli and Palestinian lives. Our point is we are against war, and we want to put an end to the violence, and we believe that what Israel is doing in Palestine, which is they have killed over 10,000 people, half of them children, is not going to bring peace to the region. In fact, it is just going to perpetuate the cycle of violence," end quote. Felice Gelman, a member of Jewish Voice for Peace, Hudson Valley, said she is, and I quote, "deeply disappointed to see my congressman line up with the same militarists who brought us the Iraq War. Didn't he learn anything from serving?" end quote. Ryan on social media wrote that, and I quote, "Our ally, Israel, is surrounded by enemies who seek to destroy it. It has both the right and the responsibility to defend itself and its people, including rescuing hostages, reasserting control of its border, and establishing deterrence against future attacks," end quote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Mike Goodwin reports in the Times Union that Representative Elise Stefanik filed a legal complaint on November 10th against State Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron, who is currently presiding over Donald J. Trump's civil fraud trial. Stefanik claims that Engoron has shown, and I quote, "inappropriate bias and judicial intemperance," end quote, while judging the case about Trump's business fraud, where he claimed properties were larger and worth more than they actually were on legal documents. Sponick wrote that Engoron, and I quote, "has displayed a clear judicial bias against the defendant throughout the case, breaking several rules in the New York Code of Judicial Conduct," end quote. But to prove her point, she quotes the judge without context. Stefanik makes it sound as if the judge was talking about his own opinion when he was clearly speculating out loud what the prosecution's opinion might be. Stefanik also cited evidence from Zillow.com in her complaint. Stefanik's complaint to the Commission on Judicial Conduct could lead to a warning, public admonition, censure, or removal from the bench. While the Trump case in question is in civil court, the former president also faces criminal cases that accuse him of concealing his possession of classified documents after he left office, trying to overturn his 2020 election defeat, and paying hush money to cover up a sex scandal. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.